Mike Tyler, a very funny frogman and raconteur, but a very, very serious scientist. And indeed, he was the chairman of the board of the South Australian Museum some decades ago. And when he first was appointed, I was rather amazed to have him tell me that they had revealed to him that there were collections, if that's the right word, of thousands of parts of human bodies. I think 4,600 parts somewhere in the basement. And it was quite surprising to read in the Griffith Review that they're still being dealt with. Lynette Russell, what's your understanding of the situation?
There's a significant repatriation program underway, both across the entire continent and focused on South Australian Museum. You're quite right, the South Australian Museum is the holder of many thousands of human remains, and they are in negotiation with the relevant Aboriginal communities to repatriate these. And this is now really a kind of generational shift. We can see that the new people at the museum are really dedicated to making sure that the right people who are responsible for these remains are able to take them home, take them back to country, and give them their final farewell.
Any record of who these people are, their names, where they came from, any literature on them?
It'll depend entirely on the museum records. Some museum records are outstanding and they've got very clear information on where they've been collected, who did the collection, and their subsequent interactions that people might have had, whether they've been studied or analysed, whatever. Others won't be. Others, it's quite clear from that Griffith Review article, it's quite clear that some of these people were perhaps itinerant, even homeless, although how one can be an Aboriginal person and homeless is something we probably should have a conversation about at some point, because one is living on country, so you're not really homeless. So yes, human remains in the South Australian Museum are deeply worrying and concerning, but I'm delighted to see that they are being handled with such sensitivity.
Yeah. In the article, it suggests that they came from hospitals, they came from graves, they came from all sorts of places, you know, random bits of skulls, skeleton, sometimes whole bodies. And that's a really terrifying thing. And is this right? The justification way back was people expected Aboriginal people, Indigenous people to fade away. And so they kind of wanted a zoological record of them.
Mm-hmm. The myth of the dying race, it haunted the 19th century. And to be perfectly frank, it continued right up into the 20th century. For example, in the 1930s, when the federal government requested all the states and colonies send someone to Canberra to discuss the, quote, Aboriginal problem. For example, here in Melbourne, nobody was sent because the question had been answered. They were simply to fade away and die. So that idea of the myth of the dying race has really been something that we've had to fight against. And it was absolutely entrenched right throughout anthropology and academic science, believed that Aboriginal people were a weaker race. They would pass away. As Daisy Bates said, she was smoothing the dying pillar of the race, and then they would become biological samples.
That's the paradox, because someone I've met only once, and that's Rebecca Richards from the South Australian Museum. In fact, she was the first Aboriginal person to become a Rhodes Scholar. Not that Rhodes is necessarily the comfortable name to mention, but her job, really, one of her research projects, is to look at the pictures of Aboriginal people way back, before the intrusion, perhaps, of European styles of living. And the pictures are of these wonderfully fit, completely different looking people. It's extraordinary, isn't it, when you look back at those pictures?
It is. I did a study of Aboriginal women sealers. And one of the things that really struck me was when people were placed onto the missions and the reserves, they became fat and often unhealthy. But if you think about what they would have been like before that, hard work, constant work, and eating healthy foods. They would be lean and muscular, and they'd have not soft, squishy bodies like us who sit in front of the computer all day, but hard, lean, working bodies. And I look at 19th century photographs of Aboriginal people, and it always amazes me just the beauty and the athleticism that you see, which we often don't see now because of lifestyle.
Well, we look forward to the report on what happens, and we'll keep in touch with the South Australian Museum, who, as you say, are taking responsibility steadily to make amends. Thank you very much. Professor Lynette Russell is Director of the Monash Indigenous Studies Centre.